With that in mind, let's turn to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. Let's stand as we just read from 14 to 21. Matthew 17, 14 to 21. Okay, for our visitors, we do have like fill in the blanks for you to follow along. So please take advantage of that. The sermons usually are uploaded as well. So if you need a second listen, please do. Okay, Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. I'll read verse 14, you read verse 15, and so on until 21. Matthew 17, 14 says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying," verse 15, "Then I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him."
Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me."
Verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he was departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour." Verse 19, verse 20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove thence to yonder place. It shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible unto you." Verse 21 together. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by fire and fasting." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before your presence today. We ask for the next 45 minutes or so that you take charge and we will understand why the disciples could not cast out the demon in this particular boy. And Father, I pray that you will speak to every one of us. And God, if there's one person who has never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that through the preaching of your word and the clarity of it, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will use that to bring life. Lord, I pray for every Christian. May it encourage our heart today to know that God, we can grow in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There was a young lady about the age of 30 plus who walked with God when she was younger, or rather she was in a place whereby there was Christianity. She was exposed to Christianity, but not anymore. As a result of her backsliding from God, she married a non-believer, someone who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. 10 years later, she is fighting to keep her marriage. Okay? Fighting to keep her marriage. The husband has been unfaithful and she found it out. And she just happened to speak to a friend who has been a Christian. That Christian friend counseled with her and told her that she needed to get right back to the Lord and that her husband needed the Lord Jesus too to help to resolve the situation too. Initially, she agreed, however, to cut the whole long story short. Now her marriage is still breaking up, and in a few months, she's getting fed up. The children is crying and asking mom to keep dad, but dad wants to go. In a few months' time, there will be another failed marriage, hurt children, and more people destroyed, even at a young age. My question as we think on this situation is, this mom went to this Christian, but could not, at the end, the outcome was still a failed marriage, a destroyed people. Can I just say something? I was doing the same, when you're looking at statistics and research. Fathers, please listen to this carefully. It has been shown in statistical research, at least in the U.S., that when a father is spiritually in tune with God and walking with the Lord, 80% of their children will follow Christ. Okay? But in a family, when mothers follow Christ and father doesn't, only 20% of the children will become a Christian and follow Christ. Fathers, do we see the absolute necessity of us to be faithful to Christ? So in this situation, I just want to highlight that. But in families where both are not interested, of course, there is definitely a down The statistics go out to below 1%. My question is, why could not the Christian help? Perhaps this is a new thought for many, because when someone comes to us for help as Christians, what is our role? What do we do? What is our role? What is our responsibility? Based on the scriptures, at least in Revelation chapter 3, all right, you don't have to turn there, there must be some sort of refreshment, some sort of help for the person. When a person comes to a Christian for help, they're not just asking someone else to help. They believe that there is a God that will be able to help them too. That's why they come to a Christian. Many people are abandoning going to Christians, but they're going to counselors. For your information, this particular lady went to a marriage counseling agency and paid $70 an hour, but still is going downhill. A Christian, when someone approaches a Christian for help, there needs to be some direction. A Christian must be able to provide some direction, some help, some encouragement for the person to see Christ and how Christ can actually help that individual. And after the person leaves, they must be able to say, God has spoken to me, or I've received some help from a Christian. You know, it's interesting that there are good reports, of course there are bad too, but generally we thank God that generally God has given us good favor among the community. All right, wherever we go, they see the Ambassador Baptist sign and running around. And generally, God has given us good favor among the people. Now, some people, however, despite meeting Christians and Christians helping them, they will still see failure. I want to be careful, because sometimes after I preach, that means every time someone asks me for help, I must definitely help them. Yes, you have to, because that is the role of a Christian, to do good everywhere you go. That's what Jesus did. But you know what? It doesn't automatically mean that person will be helped, okay? Let's turn, just listen to two verses, and I'll explain why. Sometimes people come for help from a Christian, and they still see failure because of unbelief. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, just listen. Jesus did not many mighty works there in the city, in the country that he was in, because of unbelief. Okay? Because of unbelief. Unbelief in the power of God is a strong hindrance to the work of God in your life. I say that again. Unbelief in the power of God to help is a major hindrance in the work of God in anyone's life, Christian or non-Christian. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Many times we may read the first part of the verse and say, oh, without faith it's more please God. Paul goes on to say, for they that come to God must believe that he is. In other words, you must put faith in Christ. And that God will reward you. In other words, you have faith enough to know that God will answer your prayer. Okay? But you know, in the situation of this failed marriage, both of them, even though one is a Christian and wants to come back to God, did not believe that God could help, because they didn't receive the counsel that was given to them. The question is, why could not the Christian help this lady? Now let's look at the passage in Matthew 17, and I believe we can draw some parallels. In this passage we read, there's a close parallel. Number one, there was a desperate dad. There was a desperate dad. Look at verse number 14. When they came to the multitude, Jesus just came down from the mountain of transfiguration. Peter, James, and John was walking down with him. The Bible says the multitude came down to him. And there came a certain man kneeling down and saying, he was kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. There was a desperate dad. Why was the dad desperate? What was the dad desperate? He was begging for his son. Firstly, there was a desperate dad. Number two, you will find there was a serious condition. In Matthew 17:15, Lord, have mercy on me, for he is lunatic. The word lunatic means crazy, mad. He's screwed loose already. Okay, lunatic, mad, and sore vexed. The word sore vexed means miserably suffering. Lord, my son is not only mad, he is suffering so much. Every parent's heart will break when they see their loved ones, especially their child, going through some terrible suffering and they cannot do anything about it, right? Anyone would do that. And so this dad had a heavy heart. He was desperate to get some help. And oftentimes he falls into the fire and off into the water. Basically, he will fall into the fire to burn himself and he will be hurt. And the father has to, like, 24 hours look after him. In the early times, the Jews believe that these people have epileptic, has the idea of epileptic fits. Have you heard of people who have epileptic fits? No, sometimes people will fall down and then they will may hit their, well, because of some problems in the brain. But you know what? In this situation, you will find that it's not merely a medical problem, because Jesus rebuked the devil. It was a spiritual problem. Applying it to us today, there may be some people sitting here that are in a desperate condition. May I say that every situation, listen, that binds family in utter helplessness, despondency, that means being desperate, that binds family in fear, is a spiritual problem. Because God is not someone who gives fear. God gives faith. But if you find that your family or the relationships you have is either in sin or there's fear or there's always fighting and strife, there's utter helplessness, you don't like that, you know what? It's a spiritual problem. When families cannot get along, when there are difficulties in your life and you don't see bad habits in your life that you don't seem to be able to break out of, perhaps hatred, unforgiveness, perhaps whatever that you name, and you cannot get out of it, is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual stronghold that cannot be overcome without the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would think that when the man brought the boy to the disciples, the disciples would be able to heal him, right? Did you know that? Later on, I will highlight it, but look at verse 16. The Bible says the man actually told Jesus, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Question that I want to ask us as Christians today is, why could not we cast them out? Why could not we as Christians be able to help someone in need? There are many Christians today who go to church, praise God and sing hymns, but when troubles come and when tragedy strikes, they do not know how to respond. And sometimes they blame God. They walk away from God. They say, no, God is not for me. I need time to settle my problems. When life throws problems at them, they don't know how to respond. So they just kind of retreat from church, retreat from Christians, retreat from God altogether. That is a strategy of Satan. You have two responses to every response. Either it draws you to God or draws you away from God. This father was in a desperate situation. Why can't the disciples help? You know, as I asked this, if there was a situation like this and an individual came up to us in Ambassador Baptist Church today and asked for help, what would we do? What would we do? If a demon-possessed man came to Ambassador Baptist Church today, what would we do? Maybe you come to Sam. What would you do? Or when you come to Edward or Brother Robert or Joshua, what would you do? You know, when we personalize that, we begin to realize, hey, do I believe in God? After us, we'll deal with that. What would we do if someone like that came? Why could not the disciples cast the demon out? Is there no power in our life that God can use us? I want you to notice four things from this passage. Number one, because there was no power in the disciples. Look at verse 16. They could not cure the man who was a demonic. There was no power in the disciples. I know that some may say, well, Brother Johnny, the Holy Spirit was not given as yet. The Holy Spirit was only given in Acts chapter 1. And therefore, the disciples, we cannot expect them to have the power to cast him out. But read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Okay, for those who just joined us today, we actually have verses that are printed, you can follow along. But in Matthew chapter 10, which is earlier, this is Matthew 17, Jesus had already given them power. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. You know, the disciples at this point, Matthew 10, they were given the power. By Matthew 17, they didn't have the power. Some people may believe, well, God just gave at certain times. They had no power. You know, but in the disciples' time, after the book of Acts, it was slightly, very different, not slightly different. Everywhere the disciples went, the gospel went, the people were saved and lives were changed. Can I say this? God is still in the business of miracle changing, whereby God wants to change lives. When you live in a particular way and you know it's wrong, God wants to change that. God wants to change that. God doesn't want to rehabilitate that. He wants to change that. That when from A and you go to B, a person that meets you at B will say, you are so different from A. You are totally changed as an individual in your characteristics. Okay. Now, what about us today? When an individual comes to church and given the gospel, will their lives be changed forever? I thank God in Ambassador there are people who came and their lives are changed forever. Amen. That is the reality of the Church of Jesus Christ. If Jesus cannot change our lives, then what's he for? God wants to change us. God wants to change us. But you know what? Then why is society getting worse? In a country with 600 churches, why is our society getting worse? If you are truly concerned for our teens, you'll be there for them. The teens face the next generation. I tell my children all the time, the next generation, you're going to find a harder battle to fight. Perhaps in the next 30 years, the homosexual agenda in Singapore will be established. Now we are fighting it already. It's established in some places in America and some places in Europe. They're not allowed to call husband and wife, father and mother anymore. You're called partners. Otherwise, that is hate speech. You think it's not coming to Singapore? I can tell you the recent saga with Aware, some of y'all may be aware, there was an Aware saga, you know, whereby these Christians tried to do it in the wrong way. You know, teenagers, you listen to your friends. But let me tell you, your friends or your parents, who has more authority and more experience and more wisdom? The Bible says, what is one verse? Okay, let's say if you have a whole classroom of friends. Okay, I'm talking to those primary 5, primary 6, sec 1, sec 2. Are you listening? If your whole class says, let's do wrong, what do you do? What verse should come to your mind? What verse should come to your mind? Anyone? Sorry? And sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1 verse 10. But I'll give you another verse which I learned from a kindergarten. Let's turn to Exodus, okay? Primary 5, Primary 6, Sec 1, Sec 2. Next week I'll ask you. You better memorize this verse. Exodus. If not, you'll come out and preach next week's message, okay? Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. All those in Primary 4, Primary 5, Primary 6, Sec 1, Sec 2, I want you to read this verse, okay? Let's read together. Exodus 23, verse 2. Ready? And the rest, parents, memorize this too and encourage your children to follow. Ready? One, just the first part. Ready? One, two, go. A multitude to do evil. Okay? Neither shalt thou speak in the cause to decline after many to rest judgment. Memorize the first part. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. If you know it's wrong, what does God say? Have enough spiritual courage to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Teenagers as well. You will find that all the way to 20 years old, you will find struggles in society. God said, if you see a multitude doing the wrong things, going backwards, talking wrong things, you know what? Have enough Christian courage to say, I'm walking out. I'd rather be faithful to a holy God. All right? Okay? So, but why is the world going like this? Teenagers, have you ever wondered, do you realize many people who go to the mission field decide when they are young? Do you realize that? Teenagers, you have a choice today to serve God full time. and give your lives to Christ. But why is the people getting worse? Society, why is the people coming to God's house and living depressed, dejected, and discouraged and despondent? Why is the world laughing at believers and Christians? Why is there sin and swindling in church? Why is there immorality within the Church of Jesus Christ? We just read 2-3 weeks ago, Indiana, the pastor was sacked for immorality. Why? I thought God was holy. And He is. It's not the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of this world. It's not our Lord powerful to save. Then why? Can I say this? Next chapter 1 verse 8, God has already sent the Holy Spirit to empower the church. Every one of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in your life. Yes? Is that a biblical truth? Is that a Bible truth? Then where's the power? Where's the power? What happens when the power of God is in our lives? Number one, you will be able to overcome sin in your life. You will be able to overcome sin. Number two, you will be able to love God's way. And number three, you'll be able to do greater works. The work that God has done in Ambassador is not my work, it's the Holy Spirit's work. It's as Christians, we yield to God's Holy Spirit, work together, that God is bringing in the people. Number one reason why we couldn't cast him out, because we have no power. Are you in submission to the Holy Spirit today? When God says to forgive, do you forgive immediately? Otherwise, that is disobedience. No wonder we have no power. Have you ever tried to, on a computer, they ask you to, they give you a certain instructions, but you decided to click something else, and then always an error message come out? You see, God wants us to learn submission, but if we don't, then there is no power, number one. There is no power in the disciples. Number two, look at verse 17. The second reason why we cannot deal with the problems of life, why we cannot help people who have problems, is because there is no growth. No growth. In Matthew 17:17, after Jesus heard that this man brought the son to the disciples, and Jesus heard firsthand from this man who tried to ask the disciples to help, but your disciples couldn't cure him. What was Jesus' response? Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? You know what Jesus is saying? He's frustrated. I've taught you again and again. I've showed you my miracles again and again. I've taught you to be in submission to God the Father again and again. Why? The Lord Jesus was frustrated. Oh, faithless generation. Growth comes by the intake of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Growth also comes by exercise. Okay? Growth comes by exercise. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, I think you have it there. Hebrews 5 verse 13 to 14. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We thank God we have bodybuilders in our church. So if there's anything, anyone that needs defending, those guys will be there. But let me ask you, do you eat, usually to build a body, what do you need to do? Eat vegetables and fruits, right? That's good for your fiber system. But before you build and you want muscles as big as Brother Robert and Ralex, and it's interesting they're in the same family. We have Brother Rolando and, you know, this big guys that the T-shirt don't have, they're supposed to be extra large, but this is extra large. Just to make space for the balloons and the, not balloons, sorry, basketballs that they have. What do they need to build the muscles? You need what? Protein, right? If you eat too much protein, you eat protein, what do you do after that? You exercise. And then it turns into muscles. This is simple biology, and that's why you eat. When I go to the health shop, I'm just amazed at how big the bottles are. I thought bottles is supposed to, you drink like this. But you know, you go to those health shops, those protein, and there's a big picture of the muscle there, and the bottle is just as big, you know, and I suppose because they are big, so they can carry like this. Oh, I don't know. It's really big. I've never looked inside. Are the pills also very big? Or powder form. So it was a deception. So no, just kidding. All right. But you know, they put it in powder form, probably what, mixed with a drink or something?
Yeah, okay.
Then, so you eat it, laundry scoop. Okay. You just don't mix it in the wrong place. Okay. So what, you have to what, eat it straight or drink water? Okay. Yeah, he's a personal trainer, so you know. So after you eat the protein, what will happen if you just take the protein but don't exercise? You will turn into fat. This is the, not pastor, this is personal trainer, P also. You will turn into fat. If you eat, don't exercise, you turn into fat. I'm just going to say something which, is it possible that the Church of Jesus Christ is sluggish? That when the food comes in, we don't use it. We don't grow. I know of one boy who he had spinal problems, so it wasn't his fault. He likes to eat, you know. And he has a spinal problem, so he cannot walk, and his muscles doesn't work. And so every time he eats, he just puts on weight. Not because he doesn't want to, but you know what? Don't you think that that's what spiritual things, this is what's a spiritual life too? That Paul actually had to admonish or rebuke the Hebrew Christians. Look, guys, time to be teachers. You guys are still drinking milk because why? You're unskillful in the word. Can I say this, Christians, when we don't grow and we don't exercise, you know what happens? We have no power to influence a wicked generation. We have no power. There is no power to overcome ourselves if we do not grow. Think about that for a while. The outcome of that growth can be seen in two ways, especially in the trials we face. I can tell you, as a Christian, it's smooth sailing until you hit the trials. The trials will then determine what kind of Christians you are. There's two responses. Number one, either we have victory over the trials. This is a positives, okay? Or we have power from God to undergo the trials with the grace of God. Does that make sense? As a Christian, we can overcome. But sometimes God allows us to go through the trials for a long time, but you know what? God gives us strength as we go through it. In fact, can I say this? A genuine believing Christian who puts faith in Christ gets stronger in his faith in God and influences more people as he goes through the trials because God is in his life. From the beginning of the trial to the end, there will be an increase in humility, increase in the knowledge of who God is, increase in the power in his life. Why? Because he has, from the beginning, submitted to God. But why is it that as Christians we don't? Is it possible we haven't grown? You know, you can give a person, Uncle Roland, how's your maths? It's quite good, right? You're a property agent. let's pretend, okay? My maths is not very good. And I have no interest in maths. I do, I suppose, when you need to know a bit of maths, because otherwise you get swindled and cheated. But Brother Robert, who's an architect, he can draw very well. But I'm not interested. So if he teach me, okay, Brother Johnny, I'd like you to draw this. So I kind of just, Brother Johnny, please pay attention. I have no choice because I paid for him to teach me. So, but he's one that will never give up. He will keep on giving me homework. Brother Johnny, you better try it. Tomorrow I want it back. So I draw something that looks like something else. Try again. And you know what? He may invest a lot of money in him to help me, but when he helps me, I'm not interested. Have I grown? You know, this is something which I've thought about. Because in the early on in my ministry, one of the things I said, Lord, why do people don't grow? Why do people don't grow? Later on, we'll touch on the third one. But Christians, are you sitting in church? But then when you leave, you do absolutely your own life. How many remember? You probably can remember. Who preached last week? Huh? Pastor Saul, right? What did he preach about last week? Some people said something, so I'm sure some people are listening. So, but what did he preach last week? Sorry?
go to, okay, which passage did he preach from? Revelation. Okay, that's easier, right? Okay, it's good to know the passage, but it makes you know the content. Because the content will help you. You know why we don't grow? Because when we step out here, the word of God has departed out of our mouth. And all through the week, we don't have God's word in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, where we shall be salted? It henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of man. Salt can lose its saltiness. I was doing a study on that. Salt can lose its saltiness in terms of its usefulness. Okay, salt has many uses: preservation, flavor, antiseptic, right? Okay, you have a cut, you walk into the sea for about 1 hour, you soak there, you come out 1 hour's time, it's okay. Right? Because of the antibacterial properties in the water. But the Lord Jesus says that if we lose your flavor, how are we supposed to influence society? Christians, do you know why some of us come again and again with the same complaints to God, same complaints to your friends? You know why? Mark it down. You have not grown. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. How long am I going to stay with you? How long are you going to hear the same thing again and again and no growth? How long? How long? There was a lady who at every prayer meeting would say, God, please remove all the spider webs from my life. And every time you come for a prayer meeting, he will pray, the Lord, remove the spider webs from my life. And after 2 weeks, 2 months, the one person after she prayed, Lord, remove the spider webs from my life. Another brother, Lord, kill the spider. You know why we want to just remove the spider webs? Because sometimes we like the spider. Men love darkness rather than light. That is true even with Christians. That's why God, we need to surrender to God, even the things of our lives. Oh, Christians, let God kill the spiders in our life. Let Him do it. You know what? If He kills the spiders, the plus is you will have no spider webs. Amen? In your lives. Yesterday I was demonstrating how to lead a song. You see, I was just the illustration of there's no growth and so I cannot influence people. I was in the chapel, I was demonstrating how to lead a song and I was not able to effectively lead the song because I did not know the song Jesus Loves Me Action. I know the song Jesus Loves Me This, I know. But the like, Jesus Loves Me. Yeah, I blurred. This I what? No? Like that? I was confused, you know. We had three good models, okay? You can find out from the people. And the participants were observing, okay? I was demonstrating, the person was observing. And the participants loved this. When we are not prepared, we influence someone else. Because that was what happened. The children began to sing slower and softer because I was supposed to lead them, but I was unsure. And so I cannot give them something I don't have. If I'm unsure, I cannot lead the children, to be sure. You know, that's so important as a Christian. If you are unsure of your direction in life and will of God, how are you supposed to lead someone else? You know why there's no growth, number two. Number three, notice in verse 19 and 20. After that, Jesus cast out the devil. The disciples at least had the heart to learn, and I hope we have to. But, Brother Johnny, why? In verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? What was Jesus' reply? Because of your unbelief. Oh, Christian, unbelief is such a curse of modern-day Christianity. Now, explain why. Because there was no faith. Because of your unbelief, Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, it's not so much how much faith you have, it's whether you're putting faith in the right thing. I say that again. It's not much. Not so much how much faith you have, it's what are you putting your faith in? Because Jesus says even a small faith in a big God accomplishes big things, amen? Because the faith doesn't accomplish it, God does. And we need to trust Him. Just like when Esther Joy said, Papa, I'm hungry. A small whimper, sometimes even just standing there, just doing this, is enough to whip up my wallet, go to chicken rice shop and buy her the chicken rice. Why? Because it's not her that gets the chicken rice, it's her father, amen? It's God that gives the reward of our faith. But you know what? Is it possible that sometimes God doesn't give us anything because
we don't believe him. And then I'm going to show you something from the Bible which is an eye-opener. Because the Lord Jesus' analysis of the situation was there was no faith. Why was there no faith? Did not the disciples believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Think about this for a while. The disciples knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Why cannot they cast him out? Because there's a difference in your saving faith. You can put faith in Christ for your salvation. In your practical life, you still need to trust God. Many people trust God for eternal life, but they cannot trust God with their life. They have to take control of everything. Everything, I must have one. Sweet, sweet, nice, nice. In Philip Tagalog, what do you say? Everything must be in order. What? Ice? Mahayus, is it? Everything must be mahayus. Then I will do. Can I say that life is so dynamic sometimes, then things may not be in mahayus. Things may not happen in order. Does that mean we don't serve God? Does that mean we don't trust him? Just because I was just talking to Brother Denzel just now, he hasn't driven a plane because it's a helicopter. But you know what? In planes, when you fly, sometimes in planes you fly through the clouds. You may fly through clouds for a long time. How do the pilots keep their direction? They have to trust their... What? They have to trust their navigational systems in the plane, yes? That's assuming it's working properly. We would assume it will. And it's putting faith in the navigation system. But you know what? Many of us put faith in what we see. If I don't see it, I don't trust. Because there is no faith. In this situation, the disciples couldn't cast the demons out because the power of the demons over the child was greater than the power the disciples had. Because the power that the disciples tried to use was their own power, because they asked this question, why could not we cast him out? Why could not we cast him out? Without God's strength, this church will never grow. Without God's strength, you will never overcome the sin that is controlling your life. It's not about God. Why can't I? It's God, I submit to you. Whatever you tell me to do, I will. The heart is given over to God. You cannot cast the demons out of your life or anyone else's life, because if you depend on your own strength to help. You know, in the illustration I give you at the beginning, it's a real situation I'm going through now. Not me, but another Christian was counseling this person, but there's nothing happening. Because they were trying to use not God's word, but their own wisdom. A man has wisdom. The only problem, human wisdom doesn't solve spiritual problems. Yes? We need God's wisdom to solve life's problem. We need God. Christians, sometimes we don't see, she agrees with me. Sometimes when we don't see the end of the tunnel, perhaps it is better for us to look up and say, God, you help me. Because, by the way, it's easier to look at a bigger area from the top. Amen? When you stand on top, you see the whole land, right? When you see from here, you only see straight, right? Isn't it better to get someone who can see everything? Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm already at the end. Doesn't it make sense? Teenagers, does it make sense for you to put your trust in God rather than your own thinking and your own friends? And putting God first. There was no faith. Turn to Psalm 27. Because there was no faith, they couldn't cast him out. There was no faith. Let me just read this. And you read this for yourself. Psalm 27, verse 13. And look at every word. What did the psalmist say? I just read and then you think. I had fainted. In other words, I have lost consciousness. I have given up. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What came first? Faith. Many of us have fainted. Because you want to see the good of the land before you believe. The psalmist says no. O Christian, change our minds. Repent from our thinking that I want to see everything first, then I'll do. No. The psalmist says, I had fainted, I would have given up the faith unless I had trusted first to see the goodness of the land. When we first started Ambassador, there were people who said, no, we shouldn't do it. There were people who said, no, we should just start very small. I said, no, God has given us a place. Let's go. You know what? Christians, do you realize many things in your life is by faith? You live by faith. I'm thinking of my death. I don't know why. Over the last few months, I'm thinking of my death. Maybe it's because of my knee. And because now I have to read with like that. And I'm thinking of my deathbed, how would I respond? Do you realize death is a fearful thing? But the Bible says there is no fear in faith, no fear in love. When you trust God, you don't have to worry about death. Amen? You just don't have to worry. Why? Because your life is not in your hands, your life is in God's hands. The Bible says, Revelation 1, I have the keys of death and hell. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. And if I'm in the Lord Jesus' hand, no man can pluck me out of his hand. You see, when I quote to you those scriptures, I'm putting my faith in what God says. Christians, you should too. Because that's what God wants us to have. The psalmist says, I have fainted unless I believe. Christians, do you believe that God can take care of your life? Do you believe that God has taken care of your life? What are you coming to church for? Why are you coming to church for? Why are you coming to church? Is it a ritual? Is it a habit? Or is it because you love God and you know that God will want you here? You believe God's word and you are here. Teenagers, why are you here? See your friends? Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? You need to graduate to a higher purpose. I'm here to worship God and be a blessing to someone else. What are you here for? I'm not saying don't come after this. Still come. Because you need to be in the place of God in obedience. But you know what? God wants us to grow and He wants us to have faith in Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it is always faith first, then the action. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and then He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you always say, I need to wait and see, there is no faith in that. And therefore, there will be no blessings. I can tell you many missionaries who go out to the field, by faith they go. And when they reach there, God bless them with a harvest. Our dear missionary that we support last, we always have this in my mind, you know, in a communist country, he wins hundreds of people to Christ. In a religiously free country like ours, how many people have we won to Christ? Maybe there's no place for comparison, but you know what? That urges me on. Let's use what we have in freedom to win someone to Christ. Do you have faith today? And finally, why could we not cast him out? And I believe this is especially true because you haven't grown. This is a starting place. Many of us as Christians have problems in our life or see problems in our life or families or whatever we cannot overcome. You know why? Because there was no spiritual fasting and prayer. There was no physical fasting and prayer. Jesus mentioned that very clearly in verse 20 and 21. When he was asked, why could we not cast him out? Because of your unbelief. And then Jesus actually mentioned in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by fasting and prayer. The individual did not exercise his faith, and therefore there were no outcomes. When one wants to be strengthened for the work of the Lord, there must be action. Not just the work of the Lord, but in general, whatever difficulties you may have. Let me ask you a question. How often do you pray? If there's no prayer, there's no faith. Because prayer assumes a faith in someone else. Even atheists pray when they're in trouble. Right? God, if there's a God. You know what? Sometimes, interestingly, God answers that prayer so that God can awaken some thought in that mind about who's the real God. But you know, sometimes as Christians, when we get into trouble, do we pray? You know what? We will want to go to friends, we ask counsel and all that. And the last person we consult is God. Christians, the first person you need to consult is God. He's your personal advisor. in every situation. But in this situation, I must state clearly that the child was undergoing a very deep-seated problem, a problem that cannot be removed without fasting and prayer. We need to deal with spiritual problems spiritually. If we have problems in our family or with friends or with situations, we need to pray and seek the Lord for answers how to deal with them so that we can have God, so that God can have the glory. And I say this, some of us may have just surface problems. You need to give that to God. Some of us will have deeper problems. You need to give that to God too, because God's interested in all your problems. Because we have how many of you don't have problems? How many of you don't have problems? If you say you don't have problems, you have a problem. Because you don't understand life. You're not serious about life. You're just happy-go-lucky, you know? Even happy-go-lucky people have problems. Do you realize that? I know of a man who, I think I shared with you before, he had diabetes. I don't care. He had diabetes, that's his problem. But he don't care, there's a problem. Many people are just going through life as Christians and don't care that their spiritual life has affected someone else. They don't care they're not reading the Bible. They don't care they're dishonoring God. They don't care. Ephesians 6, verse 12, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the sum total of this message is this. Is there something in your life that you just cannot pull out? The question is, why can't we pull out? Aren't we Christians? Is not the Lord of the universe living within us? Aren't we Christians that have the power of God in our lives? Aren't we supposed to have God's Holy Spirit to guide and lead us? Why are we making the wrong decisions? Why are we not following the lead of Christ? Is it possible there is no power because we don't submit to God? Is it possible there is no growth because we can hear for weeks and weeks and weeks and there is absolutely no change? I believe very much with all my heart, the way to grow is to make a decision by faith for Christ. Many Christians don't make decisions anymore. Example, those who come on Friday, we're going through a whole module on dressing. How many of you have already made a decision? Lord, I'm going to honor you in my dressing. If you don't, I can preach till I'm parched in the throat, God's truth. No one will follow. You need to make a decision, God, I will follow you in dressing. Because that's part of my sanctification, to bring honor and glory to my Savior. Alright? Okay, for those, I believe it will be uploaded. We're going through a history of dressing. How, from the time of Noah, first issue of immodesty, all the way to today. And the more I study into the whole area, the more in Singapore, we are in trouble with God with our dressing, even as Christians. And God wants us to go back to sanctification. If we are to be a sanctified assembly, that's one of the attributes of ambassador. We need to be sanctified in the way we dress. Now, come on Friday night, we're going to deal with what is biblical modesty. Last week we dealt with history of dressing. If you want the slides, I can send to you. You can follow it along with the internet, okay? There was no fasting and praying. So what do we need to do, Brother Johnny? I know I have no faith. I haven't been living for God. What do we do? Number one, just very quickly, you need to grow. You just need to start growing in Christ. The two areas of growth, in the knowledge of God, that's why FBI, you can still attend. Tomorrow, come, build yourself in the Word of God. And then make decisions that will change your characteristics for God. Because grow in the grace, the character of Christ, and the Word of Christ. These are the two areas you need to grow in. You need to grow, number one. Number two, you need to grow in faith. What does it mean to grow in faith? It means you make decisions for Christ. And you make it because you know that's the right thing to do. Example, those who need to be baptized, say, I'll be baptized. I'll make a decision right now in my heart. I'm not asking you to respond in emotionalism, but if the Bible says, do you realize baptism is just a biblical command? You don't even have to pray about it. You just say, God, I read it, I obey you. Give me grace to do that. Is God asking us to do something? Are we stepping out in faith? You know, teenagers, you need to trust Christ and say, if I have a friend that teaches me the wrong thing, in love to God and honor to my parents, I will say no. That's a decision. And we will grow strong teenagers for Christ that can influence generations to come. We need to grow in faith. You know, some of us may have difficulties in our life. No, you may just need to fast and pray. Come for the prayer retreat. We will be fasting and praying. I'm not sure we're fasting because there's children, but we'll be definitely praying. You need to serve and exercise your faith. And I say you do nothing for Christ, you will not grow. If you look at the Bible, I'm sorry, but sometimes if you look at the scriptures, you realize one thing, the apostles were always busy. The apostles were always busy. Preaching, teaching, in prison. They were always busy. They were always moving around. Even the disciples were. They were busy. Taking care of God's people, serving, getting baptized, leading people to Christ. The disciples were always busy in the Bible. I'm sure there were some people who were sitting around. Interesting, God didn't add that in the Bible. You know why? God wants us to give a pattern for our faith. Pattern for our faith. We need to serve and exercise our faith. I can tell you personally, and I'm sure many of you have as well, as you seek to just by faith do what God... It's not easy to do what God wants, but you know what? It's the right thing. Amen? It's the right thing. As we close, do you have issues in your life that you need the Lord to intervene in? Some of us have unsafe, some of us have unsafe loved ones. You need to pray for them. You need to beg God for them. Do you have situations where you say, God, I don't know whether I'm ever going to get out of this? Do you believe God has the answer? Do you believe that God has the answer? I'm not giving you a positive pep talk. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. If he has the power to create heaven and earth, he has the power to deal with things in our life. I mean, the Lord Jesus stood in the boat, spoke to the waves, and they kept quiet. That's the kind of power God has for us. But you know what? I'm not talking about fantastic situation. I'm not talking about just trusting God. God, I know you have created everything, but God, you know I have a wind in my life. I have a wave in my life. I got a storm in my life. You know what Jesus is teaching his disciples? You know, what did Jesus say to the disciples after he calmed the storm? What did he say? What did he say? Ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. As long as Christ is with you, you have nothing to fear. Amen? You have everything to fear if Christ is with you, if you don't trust him. You need to prove your faith in Christ. Christians, have you changed since you began praying for the situation? Or are you still the same? Let me ask you, are your attitudes still the same as it were 1 year ago, 3 months ago, 6 months ago? Is your attitude towards spiritual things, towards friends, towards life in general still the same? I just handle it myself. If it is, you have not grown. You can stay here in this service till Christ comes back. You will not grow. Have you changed? If you have, you ought to love God more and serve him, irregardless of what he gives you. However, if you just want to stay put, God cannot use us. Brother Johnny, I'm a young Christian. Whatever you say is hard. I want to be careful there. Do not stumble younger ones. Can I say those who are younger in the faith, you just trusted Christ and you are struggling just to maintain your faith, can I say this? Jesus will always hold you in his hands. Just like that little boy, just like that baby who is crying his heart out. I don't know how to drink. Cannot control. The mom or dad. The dad is holding. Notice the dad didn't shout. You don't hear any shouting from the dad. When you are struggling as a Christian, but you are willing to submit, God takes over. And he helps us step by step. For us who are older in the faith, what are you doing for Christ? Don't you know that God says, occupy till I come? Being involved. It's part and parcel of the Christian life. But Brother Johnny, as a pastor, my goal is not to put guilt trips on people, but you know, is there something you can do for God? But Brother Johnny, you know, I have a lot of things that's happening to me. I know. Then do what you can for God. Even though, do you pray specifically, God, I want to see this person grow. I want to see that. I want to see that, Lord. I can't do it, but Lord, I know there are people out there. Pray for them. And then after, inquire and encourage them. Pardon them, you can do something for God. Everyone can. But what are you doing? Those of you who have trusted Christ, have you been baptized? That's just the will of God. That's the next part of your faith. Why can't we cast them out? Is it because there's no power, no growth, no faith, no fasting and praying? We need to do that. You probably will not hear this anymore after this Sunday. But let me ask you a question. Of course, you can go on the internet. But you know what? Will it affect you in any way? How are you going to live your life tomorrow, the week after, the month after, the year after? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I commit this passage into your hands and whatever that has been said into your hands. I know there are Christian, non-Christians alike here. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to take whatever I've spoken. That God, you would just apply that as you see fit. Because humanly speaking, Lord, I'm just an instrument. But it is you who apply the word to the lives. Father, I'm asking you to make a change in people's life. Just as Jesus, when he was on planet Earth, Lord, he wasn't just interested in helping people. He wanted to see their lives change for the glory of God. We see the life of Zacchaeus, Lord. He ministered in love, and Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. From a dishonest person, he became an honest person. Lord, in the life of the demoniac, he was a demon-possessed person. But after he was saved, he was a spirit-possessed person, a Holy Spirit-possessed. He went to do God's will. Lord, even when we saw the apostles before Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they were just afraid and fearful. But after that, they became powerful, fearless soul winners for Christ. Lord, we want that kind of Christianity. Lord, there are many people, I believe, right here having problems in their lives that no one sees but you. And Lord, I do not believe they are here by chance. Because you work all things in accordance to your blessed will. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I just want to ask you, you know, as pastor, as shepherd, I'm concerned for your soul. Is there something in your life, whether you're a Christian or not? Is there something in your life that you know is there and you just cannot overcome it as a Christian, if you're a Christian? And you say, Brother Johnny, I just cannot seem to overcome this. I've held this on for years. Are you in that category? Did God speak to you in any of these points? If he has, may I request you, Brother Johnny, put up your right hand. I'll pray for you that God will give you the grace and the strength to grow, to have faith in him, so that you can move forward and overcome. Is there anyone like that? Brother Johnny, pray for me that God would, amen, I see that hand. Anyone else? I have a situation in my life or some things that God has spoken to me about. It may not even be a situation. It may just be growth or faith. But Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to grow. Is there anyone like that? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Put it down and pray. Say, God, I don't know the area. But if you want to talk to me afterward, that's fine. But you, between you and God, there's an area, perhaps, that God wants us to commit to him. Is there anyone who will say, Brother Johnny, pray for me, God? Amen, I see that hand too. Just put it up and put it down and pray. Amen, I see that hand. Amen. We've got teenagers, we've got adults. Amen. Is there anyone else? No teenagers, pray. Give your life to God. Don't give your life to the world. Jesus Christ saved your life. Why give it to the world? Is there anyone else? If you're here today, you're not a Christian. Say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand this, but all I saw was Jesus Christ could cast this demon out. Is it possible that this God who loves this demon-possessed boy loves me too? Can I say this with all of my heart? Jesus Christ loves the whole world. He loves those. He loves the whole world. He gave his life for everyone. But you know what? He can only save those who will come to him. Is there anyone who said, Brother Johnny, if Jesus Christ is a God of love, I want to come to him. Is there anyone like that? All we want to do is explain the Bible to you. We don't want your money. We're not even asking you to join the church. But you know, you need to just come to have an understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Is there anyone who said, Brother Johnny, I'd like to find out more about Christianity and who this Jesus is. Is there anyone like that? I'll pray for you and I'll get someone to share with you the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sin and rose again. Is there anyone? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the many hands that have gone up. God, I believe as we bow our heads, our hearts are looking up to heaven, where you are seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We know also, Lord, that you are deep down in our hearts, because when we get saved as a Christian, Lord, you live in our lives. You want to control our lives. But many times when you, in your small, still voice, speak to us, Lord, we can't hear you because we are looking so much at the waves and the storms of this life. Help us to know, Lord, that you are with us. For those who are Christians, you are always standing with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, I pray you burn this truth in every believer, that you will hold them in the most difficult times. You will hold them because you are a faithful God. But God, on the other hand, help us to be a faithful follower. For God, many times we fail you for failing to trust you. Many times we fail you simply because we do not acknowledge you in our ways. We assume our wisdom. We assume our faith. When at the end of the day, you will have to tell us, you never trusted me. Thank you, you're a faithful God. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in return. And God, we know that once we are saved, we're always saved because the Bible said so. But God, I pray for one who is a genuine believer, that they will not take that for granted. That God, it will spur them on because of the love of Jesus Christ for us. I'm asking you, Lord, to set us apart for you. I pray for every individual Christian here. I pray firstly, Lord, for every church member. That God, their lives will be consecrated to you. I don't know how, and I know we all have different causes in this life to run, but I pray, Lord, that you will lead them, that they will allow you to be their coach. They will allow you to be their leader. They will allow you, Lord, to be the pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And God, they will follow your leading all the way. I pray for every head of house, every father, every husband, that God, you give them much grace. That sometimes they feel powerless, Lord, to do with the things of life, their work and their families. But God, I pray that you will take a hold of their hearts, and that God, they will yield to you completely in submission to your word. They will allow you to take control of every decision that they make. That God, they will be able to lead their family for the glory of God. I pray for every wife and mother. God, that you will use them too in a powerful way to support the husband. And Father, I pray that you will use the Spirit of Christ in their lives to influence their family. I pray for every son, every daughter. That God, I pray that you protect every son, every daughter from the world. And that God, the son and the daughter will live for you. And God, if there's any influence in their lives right now, I pray that in the Spirit of Christ that you will remove that and replace that with a spirit of love and submission to the godly authority you've given to them. Oh, make every child obedient, Lord. But I pray that every child will decide to be obedient in submission to your Holy Spirit. I pray for our visitors. I pray, Lord, for the young people in our church. I pray for their lives to be pure and holy before you. That God, they will live for you. That they will be an influence. They might be able to influence others for you. And I pray for everyone else, the visitors and the people that have come. And thank you, Lord, that they've come. I'm asking you, Father, if there's a special need that we don't know of, only you do, I pray that you will help them to see that you love them. But God, if there's one who do not know Jesus, I pray that you will save them. They will have no peace until they find peace in Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for this time as we close in prayer. The Lord, you will bless every individual. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Make us, Lord, a set-apart assembly, that we might have the power to influence others for Jesus Christ. And God, that every one of us will grow. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're close. We're finished. God bless you.